always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Well, Senator Bernie Sanders has gone so far as to warn that the war in Gaza could be Biden's Vietnam. And when it comes to a crucial voting bloc, young voters, Biden's approval rating has dropped 12 points in 2 months. A sign, Gale, of just how fraught this issue is for him, especially in an election year.
4:49 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show, and more bad news for Joe Biden. He's losing the youth vote, partly, I'm sure, because of the student loans and Israel. Bad news, Tim.
It really is, Chris. And it's, look, I know polls don't vote, and the only vote that matters is the one that occurs in November. But I'm telling you, trends are revealing. And unless Joe Biden reverses the trend line over the next 6 months, can you believe that, Chris? We're under 6 months now to the election. He's going to have a tough time getting reelected with an approval rating in the 30s.
Joe Biden's chances for reelection look dim. Looks like Republican nominee for president and others are doing well, but it's going to take unity as well. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that next on Chris's Corner.
Chris.
And if you don't know, now you know.
And now, Chris's Corner.
Representative Adam Schwadron authored an article yesterday for the Missouri Times addressing Republican unity or lack thereof and the chaos that ensued from last weekend's state convention in Springfield. Schwadron wrote this: at the 2024 Republican state convention, certain individuals staged a coup and overthrew the Donald Trump-endorsed slate of candidates. As a result of the fallout from this takeover from a small but organized group, many left in anger at the way the whole process was handled. The actions of that small group at the state convention has sped up the damage to the Missouri Republican Party. It is my hope that this damage is not permanent. The previous week, I delivered a keynote speech on unity to the Tesson Ferry Republican Club. Here's an excerpt from my speech. I said, arguably the greatest Republican president, Ronald Wilson Reagan, once stated, my 80% friend is not my 20% enemy. Voting in alignment with your district, your state, or your conscience does not brand you a rhino if the vast majority of your votes adhere to Reagan's 80-20 principle. You know, the dictionary defines populism as, quote, a political approach that strives to appeal to ordinary people who feel that their concerns are disregarded by established elite groups. Citizens organizing to voice discontent with their government is fundamental to our constitutional liberties. Throughout history, populist movements have ousted tyrannical governments and entrenched incumbents and favored candidates in this country. Populist movements can sometimes resemble a flamethrower. When controlled, flamethrowers serve constructive purposes like managing wildfires or clearing land. However, if the wind unexpectedly shifts or picks up speed, a productive situation can swiftly turn destructive. I believe there are two principles from my favorite book, 48 Laws of Power, that should be implemented in any political movement. One, Law 45, advocate for change, but avoid overhaul. While change is universally acknowledged as necessary, people tend to resist it in their daily routines. Expressing innovation can trigger backlash. If in a position of power or striving to establish one, show deference to traditional practices, introduce change gradually, presenting it as an enhancement of the past. Another law that populist movement needs to adhere to is Law 47. Know when to stop after achieving victory. Quote, the moment of triumph often harbors the greatest danger. Overconfidence can lead to exceeding your initial objectives, engendering more adversaries than victories. Guard against hubris. Prudence and strategic planning are indispensable. Set a goal, halt upon its establishment. You know, despite its moniker, populist movements frequently exhibit a propensity for exclusivity by erecting purity tests as barriers to entry. Look, someone espousing racial supremacist ideologies, someone with a criminal history, or other obviously disqualifying factor should not be allowed to register and seek office as a Republican in Missouri. However, I oppose imposing arbitrary written purity tests for Republican candidates. The primary elections that serve as litmus tests for identifying genuine conservative Republicans. If a RINO, Republican name only, is inadvertently elected due to them misrepresenting their views during the campaign, then all hell is going to break out against them if they're voting against their constituents' wishes, and they'll have hell to pay for deceiving them. But if they're reelected, then maybe they are representing the views of their constituents. You know, early in my political career, I heard a maxim that has stayed with me throughout my 25-year political career. It says this: politics is about addition and multiplication, not subtraction and division. Regrettably, our party is divided right now, but I hope we can come together and heed the wise words of Jesus when he said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand." And that is Chris's Corner.
Mm-hmm. I heard it was a very interesting convention indeed.
It was a very interesting convention. One of the reasons I'm going to tell folks I haven't, my wife was a delegate. I was a delegate as well. I was there at the convention. My wife was on the Nick Chairman's slate that was going to be voted on to go to the convention. He withdrew his slate. You know, the main reason why I haven't said anything about it is I didn't want folks out there thinking that I, in any way, because people have a way of misinterpreting your words on the radio, Tim, as you know, and can read into mm-hmm. things that you didn't say, but you did say it. And I didn't want anybody to think I had sour grapes or anything like that, because Becky and I weren't going to the convention. I don't. I've always said when I was asked to be an alternate delegate, I said, you know, I'll do it, but I've always felt that those type of positions were for the grassroots folks, because they're the ones that have worked hard and have been in the trenches mm-hmm. and done the work. So those slots are for them. So no, I have no sour grapes at all about not going to the convention. That's about $5,000 that we will not be
you got
be,
that right
be spending. So those that are delegates, have a great time, have a lot of fun. But I do hope, Tim, that for the sake of our party, the sake of our nation, that the Republican Party can come together and coalesce and put Donald Trump in the White House and vote against Joe Biden. Yesterday, in the Indiana primary, Nikki Haley got 22% of the vote. We need everybody. That's a telltale sign.
We do. Yeah, and I'm a much bigger fan of accountability versus vetting. It's really hard to vet someone who has zero record, because all you're doing is taking their word for it, you know? Yeah. There's a lot of great organizations that actually do legislative scorecards after someone's actually been in office. And it's groups like Club for Growth, American Conservative Union. There's a ton of very respectable national scorecards, and they do deep dives into legislative records. I'm more of a fan of that. You know, let's see what people actually do once they get in office and start voting on actual bills. Five.